Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You got to get used to hearing me say this. The Knicks are going to the finals. Not officially yet, but they are. So get used to hearing it. Get used to me saying it. And you should start saying it yourself because that's what's happening here. And Cleveland had their chance in game one. They blew it. The Knicks were vulnerable. They were rusty. They looked like a team that hadn't played in over a week. They were missing threes. They were turning the ball over left and right. And the Cavs had a 22-point lead with under 8 minutes to go. And somehow, some way, with both parties being cooperative, the Knicks stormed back and had the greatest comeback in their history in the playoffs. I think it's the greatest playoff win that I've ever seen in terms of the Knicks. One of the great playoff games and wins in the history of New York. It was electric. It was memorable, to say the least. And it's one of those nights that you'll always remember where you are. On the flip side, if you're Cleveland, you don't recover from a night like that, especially when you're not as talented as the Knicks. I don't think they're as hungry as the Knicks. They're not as tough. They are soft. And you saw that tonight. Cleveland, even when they were trying to put up a fight, it just wasn't that punch that you need. You know, you got to steal a game here. Even with the loss that you had in game one, you got to try to find the way in game two. And I never at one point in that game thought the Knicks were even in the slightest bit of trouble. Slightest. And the Knicks can just beat you in so many different ways. Whether it's Mikal Bridges, who's on the best run of his Knick career, whether it was Josh Hart, who was dared to shoot tonight and made the Cavs pay for that. Whether it's Karl Anthony Towns, who wasn't good in game one, but he had a really good game in game two. Brunson, who the historic heroics in game one are obviously well documented. Tonight it was more about him facilitating, passing the rock, getting everybody else involved. And that's why the Knicks can just be so dangerous and beat you in so many ways. Because one night it could be Jalen, then it could be Kat, then it could be Bridges, then it could be OG, it could be Josh. It could be the bench. It could be a guy like Shamet. It could be a guy like Deuce. There are so many options for Mike Brown to utilize with this team. They have the depth. They have the star power. They have the firepower. They have the chemistry. They have the continuity. They have the experience. They have the hunger. They have all the ingredients. And now a little bit of lady luck, which they got in game one, where the ball bounced their way, which it hadn't in previous years, like last year in game one against the Pacers. And just speaking of Indiana, think about where we were a year ago. That Friday night, game two, I was in the building as the Knicks, off of that brutal one we will never forget, game one loss against Indiana. With Halliburton and the choke sign and Reggie Miller in the building, all that stuff. The Knicks came back in game two. And by the way, if they win game two, it's a totally different series. That's why I kind of said no biggie after game one. I'm like, okay, no biggie. Win the next one. And they didn't. And from there, it was going to be a very tough, tough mountain to climb. And the Knicks ultimately weren't able to climb that mountain. Now here we are a year later, they're up 2-0. They had a historic comeback in game one. And then they cruised to a easy victory. So they were able to not only do what they did in game one, but also keep Cleveland by having any type of life in game two and showing any type of life where, as bad as game one was for the Cavs, if they had gotten game two, it's a series. But they were unable to. The Knicks hold serve, and I think they take care of business in short order. I felt that way from the beginning, if you are a loyal listener here. I said the series is going to be over in five, probably going to be four now, but I knew it'd be quick because Cleveland isn't nearly as good as the Knicks. They have no answers for a lot of the players on the Knicks, especially a guy like Karl Anthony Towns who can just really go to work on guys like Mobley and Allen. Nobody can guard Brunson. Mitchell and Harden aren't those big physical guards that do give Jalen Brunson trouble. Cleveland doesn't have that in their arsenal. Now, they could take advantage of Jalen, which they haven't really done, because they put the sports loser on him, Harden, in game one, who never does anything in the clutch. I just don't see where Cleveland has any advantage in this series. Any. And their best shot to win when the Knicks were at their most vulnerable, the most rusty, and Cleveland had a lead that was as safe could be. The Cavs couldn't get it done. So they couldn't even win that game. So if that is where we're at, you know that's going to be the worst the Knicks play the entire series. That's their lowest. That's their worst. Now they're going to be at their best and get better and better by each game as they continue to knock off the rust. Cleveland has no shot. They have no answers. And this will be over in either four or five. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Alex in Fairlawn, New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Well, you know, I can remember just being 8 years old, 27 years ago. Knicks had that, what they call Cinderella run, 8 seed, went to the finals. Yep. They were no match for the Spurs.
They were not.
After, you know, 2000, when the Ewing era ended, they didn't win a playoff game for 12 years, a playoff series for 13 years, then 8 straight years out of the playoffs. And then they started to find their, you know, their groove about 3 years ago. You know, they lost to the Heat in round two.
Yep.
And then OG got hurt 2 years ago, and they couldn't overcome the Pacers. I don't know if they would have beaten the Celtics that year. And then last year, you know, they choked in game one, blowing that 14-point lead.
Yeah, they also had that, and then obviously losing.
And it cost Thibodeau his job.
Yep.
Because he just wasn't good enough to get those 2 extra wins to go to the finals. Now they hire Mike Brown, who's got an excellent resume. And this is the year they're going to go to the finals. I've been waiting 3 quarters of my life to see this. And, you know, I think it's time for a 1999 rematch with the Spurs. Let's go.
Love it, Alex. Appreciate the passion and the energy and the history there. And, you know, obviously the Knicks also in 21 losing to the Hawks in the first round. Obviously a different group there, but still part, I would say, of this kind of time period of Knicks basketball. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm already dreaming about the next round. I'm dreaming about revenge against San Antonio, the team the Knicks saw the last time they were in the finals. Plus, it's a better matchup for the Knicks. I'm not going to use the word easy because anytime you're going up against Wembanyama, it's not easy. And Castle and Harper, who's dealing with an injury. Fox, who's also dealing with an injury. San Antonio has as much talent as anybody in the league. But they lack experience. They lack all the things that our previous caller just talked about. Wow, they lost in this round in the playoffs. They lost in that round, and they've been climbing the ladder. That's what it's about. That's how you win it. You gotta climb up the ladder. And the Spurs haven't done that. In many ways, I feel like this is their championship, beating the Thunder. So when you couple that with the experience, or lack thereof, that San Antonio has, I think the Knicks would be in great shape in that series. And that's the team I want to see. Because the Spurs match up great with the Thunder. We've seen it throughout the regular season. We've seen it in this round. Because even in game two, look, that was going to be an effort from OKC with their season on the line where against a mortal team or even a really, really good team, they would have won by like 30. That didn't happen. San Antonio played them tough. One or two less turnovers, and that game could have been a different script and a different outcome. And we would be talking Knicks Spurs right now because they'd both be up 2-0 and it would be a wrap. Or the Knicks won a wrap. It's hard to, until the defending champs are, you know, you drive the stake through their heart. I think you got to give them the respect. So that series wouldn't have been a wrap, but it would have been a very difficult task for the Thunder to come back. And that's got to get into the psyche at some point. Like, we can't beat this team. So the Thunder now can look themselves in the mirror and say, we know we can beat the Spurs. We know we can beat the Spurs. We got one at home. Now let's get a couple in San Antonio if we can. Certainly got to get one. But I think that's going to be a really long series. It's going to be an epic series. Those two teams are evenly matched. There's tremendous depth and talent and ability and size and athleticism and defense. Everything you can want in a basketball series is in the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be a long series. It's going to be the opposite of what the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be, which is now a party. The next two games are going to be a party. It's going to be an invasion of Cleveland. It's going to be Nick wins, I think, convincingly, especially if it's 3-0 and they're going to game four Monday night. That one will be a rout. If Cleveland, and they might have already given their best punch, but if they have anything left, any type of guts, any type of heart, any type of intestinal fortitude, any type of pride, they'll bring their A-plus game on Saturday in game three. I just don't think they will. I just don't think they're going to recover. I still think they're going to be hung over from game one and that loss. That's one that just sticks with you. And I don't think the Knicks are trying to... I think they are embracing this streak as well. You know, 9 playoff wins in a row. I think they're embracing that. I don't think they want that to end. Because that matters too. That's a part of this. Like the records that they're setting, the streak that they're on, it's all part of the narrative. It's all part of the story of this team. So they want to keep their foot on the gas pedal. Because in most other situations, yeah, this is a total spot for Cleveland to win. Season on the line. This is not a first-round opponent. This is a team that's got to the Eastern Conference Finals. This is a team that was a one seed last year in the East. This is a good squad. So in normal circumstances, I say, all right, you know what? Game three, give it to them, win this in five. But this just feels like a series that is going the direction of a sweep. And it's going to be quicker than I thought. I don't know, you know, I said five. This is going to be even quicker than I thought. But it's going to be quick nonetheless. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Don in Fort Lee. What's up, Don?
What's up, Tommy? Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up?
Thanks for having me on again. So if I could just make 2 points, if you could just leave me off at the 2 points before you hang up. The first one is, I'm a Villanova alum, so I followed Josh and Brunson all through their college career. And people may not know this, but when Josh was at Villanova his last year, he was Big East Player of the Year. He was a consensus All-American first team. And he averaged 18.7 points a game, over 40% from three-point range, over 50% from field goal percentage. He also was the go-to guy at the end of every game, so Brunson always knew how great he was. That's why he was so excited when they got him, because we always got Josh the ball at the end of the game. So he's no stranger to being a go-to guy, to be shooting under pressure and that type of thing.
Yep.
So that's the first point I was going to make.
Yeah, that's just not the role that he's had on this team, obviously, because of the firepower and star power that they have. He's more of the glue guy. He's more of the lunch pail guy, the defense, the rebounding, all that stuff. He'll get his 10 points, but the one-man fast break. But he's more of the hustle, effort, heart, pun intended, guy. But when you're in these situations and a team is saying, you know what, we're going to make Josh Hart beat us, he has the capability of doing that because of his experience, like you said, having that role at Villanova, and also the work that he did in the offseason on improving his jump shot, especially from three-point land.
Right, he's more complimentary right now as an NBA player. That's absolutely correct. But he's still, exactly, he's not afraid to take a big shot.
Nope.
The other point I was going to make is, after 12 games, the first 12 playoff games for any team, I think, in NBA history, the Knicks have the greatest point differential, I think, in the history of the NBA playoffs. So after those first three games, they've shown their ceiling, and I firmly believe if they stay healthy that their ceiling is higher than anybody else's ceiling that's left in the playoffs. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they beat the Western team in five games either, as long as they could play to their highest level, which they've been doing.
Yeah, and that was the thing in the regular season. You never knew what Nick team you were going to get. When they were at their highest of highs and they gave their A-plus game, they were as good as anybody in the league. And then when they were bad, they were real bad. And they had just absolutely awful losses. I think of that one of the Mavs on Martin Luther King Day where they were booed by Knicks fans. And I get it. They were playing poor basketball and they had a team meeting. So this team has kind of hit those lowest lows. You've seen them at that. But you've also seen them at their highest of highs. And in these last nine games, they've been on that level. So to your point, if they continue to play like this, it's going to be very difficult for any team to match what the Knicks are, you know, putting out there on both ends of the floor.
Right, and the Knicks haters and the Knicks pessimistic fans, they keep saying throughout the playoffs, oh, they didn't play anybody. Wait till they play, wait till they play the Sixers. Or
game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real five-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Wait till they play the Cavaliers. Now they're saying wait till they play the Western team. But at every point, the Knicks have met the challenge and exceeded the challenge. So, I mean, if the Knicks had this team last year, there's no way they're losing to Indiana with the depth they have now.
Correct.
And last year's
100%.
Last year's Indiana team took won seven games with the Thunder. So that tells me that, you know, as a Knicks fan,
and honestly, they might have won that game seven if Haliburton didn't get hurt.
No question. No question about it. Yeah. So as a Knicks fan, you really I don't fear anybody. Because the Brown's been coaching and making adjustments to the best of any coach in the playoffs. Brunson's, you know, been facilitating and just he's playing at the highest level right now, as well as any player in the playoffs. And the supporting cast is tremendous. And as long as OG looks like he's back 100%, so yep. I really don't see the only thing that the only negative I see is Mitch's foul shots. I don't know why the heck he can't work on that to the point where he could, you know, hit 50%. Because if I was him, I'd be taking 500 a day, you know, in the gym consistently.
Yeah, I'd imagine he definitely works on it for sure. But it's just I don't know if it's physics. I don't know what it is. But he's obviously an issue at the line, and the Cavs have taken full advantage of that by hacking Mitch. I'm sure the next opponent in the finals will do that as well. The point I think you made a couple points ago that was just perfect was the depth. And that was something that we all as Knicks fans screamed about for years. And I think the Knicks had the depth, you know, in previous years. It's just there was a reluctance to go to those guys. Remember, when they had their backs against the wall against Indiana, that's when you saw DeLon Wright. That's when you saw Landry Shamet. When Tibbs had no other choice and was desperate, he did it. Where Mike Brown, he's utilized the bench all year long. And that depth in this playoff run, whether it's Alvarado, Deuce, Shamet, those guys have stepped up in a big-time way to help this team. And that makes them very dangerous, because when they do see a team like OKC or the Spurs, who are both deep, they can match that depth. If you don't have the depth against those teams, you're going to get run out of the gym.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that he did. He developed that depth throughout the whole season. So these guys were ready for that role. They were all confident to fill that role. Whereas last year, Tibbs was throwing them out there where they hadn't built that confidence over the long haul.
Spot on.
You know, so,
yep.
And the starters all had fresher legs this year because they didn't play as many minutes. So he wasn't running them into the ground, because we have seen in the last several years how important it is to save your starters and to have that depth, because you can no longer win in the NBA unless you're going 8 or 9 deep.
No, you're 100% right on both parts. The starters are fresher. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And this is something that I've said for years when Tibbs was here. It was, you got to play the bench more, because it makes a situation where they have the chemistry now with the starters. And if you call on them in the playoffs, they're going to be ready because they have been on the floor most of the year. That's something that Mike Brown did. So when Anunoby was out for a little bit, hey, we could put Shamet in there, he's good. We could put Deuce in there, he's good. When Bridges struggled in the first round, Alvarado stepped up, Clarkson stepped up. That's something that they couldn't rely on. So if they got an injury or two, or players were tired, they were screwed.
100%. Right on point. Thanks a lot, Tom. Thanks for giving me the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. Great conversation. Yeah, I think the depth of this team and the utilization of it, more importantly, has been the biggest difference with this run compared to previous ones. The biggest. Having the depth and utilizing it. Biggest difference. Look at Indiana last year. Look at OKC last year. Look at OKC this year. Look at San Antonio. Depth. You got to go like 10 deep in the playoffs. When you get to the final four teams, you better have a deep bench and you better be using it. But you are 100% right in everything you said there. Mike Brown deserves so much credit for the way he managed this team through the year to get them ready to peak at the absolute perfect moment. Perfect. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. I said this last night, and I'll say it again. And it didn't go well in the first game. But there's still time. This is a very important weekend for the Yankees. Tampa's in town. They got swept by them at the Trop earlier this year. The Yankees are now, because the Rays basically never lose. The Yankees are now 6 back in the loss column. 6. They've already spotted Tampa 3 wins head-to-head. And now the Rays are back here. The Yankees clearly struggled in these final 2 games to get any type of offense going. Aaron Judge is having one of the worst, if not the worst, slumps of his career. Austin Wells is horrible. J.C. Ascara is worse. He's not a major leaguer. And here come the pesky red-hot Rays. If the Yankees have a bad weekend, we could be sitting here next week where they are looking way up at Tampa. And this is before their usual June swoon. Now, I think the Yankees will show up this weekend. I think they match up better at home when it comes to playing the Rays. They have all sorts of problems down at the Trop. But up here in the Bronx, I think the Yankees will be at a more advantageous position. And you hate to say they need these games. These are must wins. But if Tampa comes in here and takes two out of three, or dare I say sweep, the Yankees are going to be in a shape that's not good for the division. Long way to go, absolutely. Plenty of time to turn it around, absolutely. But, and we saw this last year, because the Yankees did turn around the stretch. They did turn things around in the stretch run. They did play better baseball in the last couple months. But, the damage had already been done because they lost the head-to-head matchups with Toronto. So not only will the hole get dug deeper if they lose these games, but then they're going to kiss the tiebreaker goodbye. So it's a pivotal weekend. For late May, where normally it's not, it is. Considering, if you're thinking division, and they should be, because number one, you want to buy. You want to play in the first round. Number two, Aaron Boone and Aaron Boone managed teams are always better off in October when they have home field. So you don't want to allow this to slip out of your fingertips. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge. What's up, Sean?
Happy Luke evening to you, my
hey,
friend.
Sean. Hope you're having a good Luke evening yourself.
I'm doing all right. And yeah, I heard about the Yankees thing you were mentioned, and I couldn't agree more. I'm kind of a little bit bummed out with how they're doing, quite honestly. And I thought this would be a good series with the Blue Jays, honestly, but somehow, some way, it's just like there was a lot of mistakes that occurred.
Yeah, it was the lack of fundamentals, losing, won some close games, but then, which they do often, lose close games. The offense went to sleep, and look, when Judge is not hitting, it's going to be tough for them to score runs because they have a lot of dead outs in the lineup.
Yeah, I totally agree. But with this weekend, now this is very important. Not only that, we finally get to see Gerrit return. So I'm actually interested to see how he does, see how he feels, see how how he lasts in innings pretty much, and CP fits pretty.
Yeah, look, you're not gonna get a lot of length from Cole right out of the gate, considering the injury, the age, all of that. But you are getting Gerrit Cole back, which is very important, especially with Fried on the shelf. Caballero back, Jones now down to the minors, so you get Caballero's energy back to play against his former team. So that's going to be a big jolt for this offense and going into the weekend. So look, there's definitely optimism, but they got to take care of business this weekend. They cannot afford to have a bad one against Tampa, because then all of a sudden the division is going to be sort of getting out of reach when you consider the head-to-head is in Tampa's favor already, and they're going to have a huge lead in the loss column.
Yeah, and that is true. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up is about the Knicks. Yep. And honestly, I try not to be very controversial-like, but I might have to be for this, so you may agree, disagree. Mm-hmm. So I understand that we're up by two. I understand that. But here's the thing. You don't want to get too overconfident and overzealous, which I totally understand, and that's from a fan perspective and any player perspective. But the thing with that is now you're going to Cleveland, you got to also just like buckle down just a teeny bit. Just buckle down and just let the game naturally process, of course. But you just don't want to get too ahead of yourself, because if that can happen, then it could lead to like main mistakes, and they can just like make things worse.
I don't think the players are. It's one thing if I, Sean, and I appreciate the call. It's one thing if I'm overly confident, or if I'm cocky, or if I'm already thinking about revenge on the Spurs. That's me, a fan, a sports talk radio host. I can do that. It's not going to affect what's going on the court. I don't think the players are thinking that at all, because they know better. Number one, look, the Knicks know deep down they're the better team, but they're still going to treat it like, oh, you know, Cleveland is this really good team, and they know how sports work. If you leave the door open a little bit and you allow a team to run through it, the series can flip just like that. So I don't think the Knicks players are going to be overlooking the Cavs in Cleveland. And I haven't seen that from, because if that was the way this team is wired, they would have lost game three against the Sixers. That did not happen. So I think they're going to be ready. I think they're going to be fully good to go. And I think they, just like they did tonight, win a convincing game three. And then that sets up Monday, Memorial Day, for the moment we've been waiting 27 years for. And that is the Knicks going to the finals. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie here in the late night. Tommy Lugar on the Fan. If you want to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. That is the number to call. We'll mix in some of the other big stories of the day as well, including news on Joe Shane's future, what the Mets did in their final game of their series against Washington, the Yankees as well, as they get ready for a big weekend against the Rays. It should be a very fun, very exciting sports Memorial Day weekend here in the tri-state area. Once again, the phone number to join the show, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Couple of quick little things I want to talk about here before we get back to your calls and obviously react to the Knicks being up 2-0 in their series against the Cavs. Look, for months and months and months, and I was ridiculed for this and I was crushed for this, I praised Joe Shane, a man that really didn't get praise from anybody else besides me. I even went as far as to grade his time with the Giants as a B+. I gave him credit for the offensive line, which played better last year than it did in years. I said, as of late, Joe Shane's drafts have been really, really good. Even before Dable was fired, I said, it's not a package deal. Dable could and should get fired, but that doesn't mean Shane deserves to be fired. Because I always felt like it was a coaching issue, not a roster issue. And now that they have Harbaugh a lot of the poor coaching that we saw under Brian Daboll will not be there. But I was ridiculed for all of those takes. I even went as far as to say, if you're going to keep Shane, because there was a lot of reports and talk, well, he'll get fired after the draft, which to me made absolutely no sense. Either get rid of him right when Harbaugh gets hired, or don't. So I never really was buying into the fact that they were going to fire him after the draft. But one of the things I kept talking about was, if you're going to keep Joe Shane, and he's got one more year left on his deal, then you got to sign him to an extension. If you want him around, sign him to an extension. Don't let him be there and be a lame duck. Don't let him be there and on his final year of a deal. Sign him to an extension. And I was ridiculed for that. Well, here we are in the end of May, and Joe Shane has been re-upped, signed to an extension as the GM of the Giants. And I'm not surprised by that, because I've been saying it all along. And even though many of my fellow Giant fans disagreed with me, you know who agreed with me and agrees with me? The Giants. John Harbaugh. They agree with me that Joe Shane has done a better job than a lot of people want to give him credit for. And the issues with this team over the last couple of years was more about coaching, was more about culture, was more about lack of quarterback. It was more that than it was the job that Joe Shane had done. And to me, Joe Shane is trending up in terms of the moves that he has made instead of trending down. That's why I gave him the B+. I would imagine Harbaugh and the Giants gave him an even higher grade than I did, because they signed him to an extension. They didn't even let him twist in the wind for the year. But the Giants and Harbaugh agreed with me. They agreed that Joe Shane has done a good job. They feel like Joe Shane could do an even better job going forward. And Joe Shane wouldn't be here, I don't believe, without Harbaugh not only signing off on it, but in all likelihood endorsing it, as he's gotten an opportunity now to work with Shane through a free agency period, through a draft. He clearly feels confident in Joe Shane's ability to do his job. So I'm not surprised by this. I've been saying it for months and months and months and months and months. And when he was not fired, when Harbaugh was hired, I thought that was telling. I just needed to see the Giants give him an extension, because it made no sense to keep him around for 1 year and have all the clouds and all the questions. That's not good for Harbaugh. That's not good for Shane. That's not good for the organization. It's just, it's bad business. It's a bad way to go about things. So I credit the Giants for this decision to give him the extension. And I think Joe Shane earned it. And I'm telling you, Harbaugh with the roster that, because Harbaugh decided to come to this team not because he wants to drive around in New York City traffic. He came to this team because he believes in the roster. A roster that Joe Shane has built. And now, obviously, having worked closely together for the last 5 months since Harbaugh has been here, I would imagine Harbaugh had a lot of say in this. And he not only signed off on it, but in all likelihood, endorsed it, because Harbaugh is the guy there now. He has a ton of power, as he should, considering his resume, considering how, let's be honest, desperate the Giants were for a coach that has that type of resume, that has that type of experience, that comes with that winning culture. He's a CEO. He's an adult in the room. He's a taskmaster. He's going to turn the Giants around, along with the franchise quarterback in Jackson Dart. And I know there's a lot of Giant fans out there that are probably listening to me, or will listen to me either on the Odyssey app or the podcast or whatever, and they'll get like, oh, Loogie, come on. What is Joe Shane? This team is stonk. Come on. Joe Shane hasn't put together a good roster. Okay. Homework assignment. Go through last year's games one by one for the Giants. Okay? With the roster that Joe Shane built. And you have now think if they have Harbaugh as their coach and Dart as their quarterback. Because obviously he missed some games early in the year because they had this bright idea to play Russell Wilson, which Joe Shane deserves some blame for, 100%, probably even more than some blame. So as much as I support Shane, that was a bad one, the Russell Wilson one. Should have just had Winston let him play for a couple games. He's better at this stage of his career, Jameis Winston is, than Russ. That Russell Wilson signing to me made no sense. So that one I would definitely hang in the loss column for Shane. But if you had a full year of Dart and Harbaugh, go through each game last year, tell me what the Giants' record would be. Homework assignment. They could have been a playoff team last year with those two guys. It was always to me about coaching. And not just Dable, his staff. It was just awful. And Brian Dable, despite the 1 year that he had, where he won Coach of the Year and a playoff game on the road, he just wasn't cut out for that type of position. And he's down in Nashville now with Saleh. I don't think Dable will get another opportunity in the pros to coach again, head coach. So, but I always felt like the roster was there for the Giants. Now, as far as the Mets, they were able to get the split with Washington. They have a series coming up against the Marlins, a team that is struggling right now, a team that the Mets could take advantage of here over the weekend. And I always use Memorial Day as the benchmark, as the checkpoint. I've been saying that for weeks. Memorial Day, Memorial Day, Memorial Day. So this weekend coming up. Where are the Mets at? And I'm not talking about in March. Like, obviously, you're sitting there in March, and you're like, okay, where are the Mets going to be in Memorial Day? You would have thought better than 22 and 28. I understand that. I'm talking about when you started this month, when it was really at a fever point of fire Mendoza, Stearns is an idiot, all these things that the Met fans were saying, my fellow Met fans. And I get it, because they didn't have a great month, to say the least. But now that Memorial Day is here, the Mets are digging themselves out of the hole and out of the mess that they created. They're off to a strong start in May. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And if they have a good series here against the Marlins, all of a sudden, they're going to be sniffing right around 500. And everybody that besmirched the great name of Positive Tommy throughout April, boo this man. You in here for some marijuana? You boo this man. That's all I heard for about a month. Everyone was coming after me. But I said it was early. There was still time. Get back to me Memorial Day weekend. Well, we're here. Mendoza's still here. And I'm sure Cohen and Stearns are thrilled with the way this team is playing right now in May. Even if it's not perfect across the board, the wins are there and the record in May is strong. And they're one good series away from sniffing 500. You get the 500, and then you could start to have your season. You could start to breathe again. Led by these young players in A.J. Ewing and Carson Benj, and then obviously Bo Bichette, who had a good series against Washington, and I expect him to be the Bo Bichette that we all have watched these years in Toronto as the best, or one of the best all-around hitters in baseball, I should say. And by the way, it's still early. It's still early. It's not even summer. I know people are going to tell you it's summer. It's not. Summer's end of June. There's a lot of baseball left. There's a lot of baseball left. So just keep chipping away. Win series. If you're in a four-game series, ideally it'd be nice to win it, but no worse than split, which they did. So they got out of there. Okay, split. Now go take the series in Miami. Now, as far as the Yankees, the reason they're in a different boat is because, so they're six out in the loss column. Tampa, it feels like they win every day. Six out in the loss column. They've already lost three to Tampa. If they have a rough weekend against the Rays, and I don't think they will, but if they do, they could be... I mean, if they get swept, which they won't, but if they did, let's call it worst case scenario. I mean, they could be nine out in the loss column. If they just have a rough weekend, and I don't expect them to, but if they did, and that's before the usual June swoon with the Yankees, which has been the case and the norm with Boone. And I expect the Yankees to have a big summer. They'll win a lot of games, but they could run into what they ran into last year, which is they don't have the tiebreaker against Tampa. Because they got off to a bad foot with that already this year, getting swept down in the Trop. So these are, for late May standards, critical games. Because we all saw what happened last year, and it would have been made a major difference if they had home field against Toronto. Who knows? Maybe the Yankees would have went back to the World Series. Because they did play great baseball down the stretch. The Yankees did. But the damage had already been done because they lost the head-to-head matchups with Toronto. So here we are, you know, a year later, and it's not Toronto, but it's Tampa. That's the team now that is standing in your way for winning the division. 4.5 back, 6 in the loss column. It's a huge weekend for the Yankees. Huge. Division-wise, obviously the American League is incredibly weak. The Yankees are, for sure, 1,000% making the postseason. But if they want to dream about the division, they got to have a successful weekend against Tampa. Speaking of dreams, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Eastern Conference Finals is a wrap. This series is over. I thought it was going 5. I knew the Knicks would make short work of the Cavs. But from where I'm sitting right now, this series could easily go 4. You know, no worse than 5. This series is over. This series is a wrap. It's just impossible for the Cavs to overcome what happened in Game 1. That was the Knicks at their most vulnerable. That was the Knicks at their rustiest. And the Cavs couldn't take advantage of it with a 22-point lead and just under 8 minutes to go. If the Cavs couldn't win that game, they're not winning any games. This is over. The Knicks are going to the finals. Get used to hearing it. Get used to me saying it. Get used to other people saying it. It's happening. It just depends on whether the series ends in 4 or 5. But it is happening. So now, as a Knicks fan, I start to dream. I start to dream about the next round, and I start to dream about revenge. And how fitting it would be 27 years later to face the Spurs in the finals. To not only break the 27-year drought of getting to the finals, but then beating the team that beat you 27 years ago and breaking the 50-plus year drought. So as a Knicks fan, I couldn't be any more cocky. I couldn't be any more confident in this series, knocking off the Cavs. It's over. And now I'm dreaming about revenge. I'm dreaming about seeing the Spurs in the finals all these years later. How sweet would that be? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Before we get out of here, let's go to Weiss in Bayonne. What's up, Weiss?
Good evening, Thomas.
Hey, what's up?
I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
You bring a unique perspective to sports talk.
That's appreciate right. it. Thank you.
I know most of your calls are consuming the Knicks. My focus is on the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
According to me, the Yankees have immediate weaknesses in their bullpen.
Yes.
What's your opinion of the Yankees trading for this guy named Johan Duran?
Yeah, for the Phillies. Closer for the Phillies.
Yeah, or Riley O'Brien of the Cardinals, who has 13 saves for relief help due to a closure by committee.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, the Phillies, to their credit, under Don Mattingly, have played a lot better. So if you had asked me this a couple weeks ago when they were rotten, I would have said, all right, maybe they'll move on from him. But because they've gotten themselves back to 500 and they are a team that, you know, have World Series aspirations, they have a lot of talent, aging players, but they want to make a final run. I don't see Philly selling. Now, the Cardinals have had a good start as well, but if they fall out of it, perhaps. Right now, though, Weiss, I don't see anybody making any trades. You got to give it a few more weeks to see who kind of is out of the mix and then kind of go from there.
Okay, I got you. All right, thanks for paying attention, Thomas. Enjoy your rest of your, your evening.
You got it. You know what? It's the end of the week. The voice is starting to say they've had enough. That's what it is. That's what two overnights will do to you. I could just, the voice is starting to just say, yeah, see. But actually, I think I sound better when I talk like this. A little bit raspier. It's better. But yeah, Weiss, I mean, as far as the Yankees at the deadline, I do think that they are going to make a couple of moves in their bullpen. At least two. Bednar is impossible to trust. I just can't see him being the closer down the stretch in October. I just can't trust him. You can't trust Duvall. There are a lot of issues in this pen. So I do see Brian Cashman going in the direction of multiple arms out of the bullpen. Multiple. But as far as teams selling, it's just too early. You know, unless you're historically bad, unless you were the Rockies of last year, unless you were the A's of a couple years ago, the White Sox of a couple years ago, you feel like you have a chance. Even if you have like 19 wins right now, you feel like you got a shot because of the expanded postseason. So that makes the trade partners not as abundant at this stage of the year. You know, things can change quickly. Like, yeah, a couple weeks ago, Phillies might have been looking to move guys, but now they're 500. They're playing great baseball under Mattingly. So they're going to be buyers, not sellers. And who knows between now and the deadline who ends up being a buyer instead of a seller. There'll be teams that'll sell, for sure. And in those situations, that's where Cashman's got to take advantage. And he's got to get some arms and a catcher and a third baseman. So there are moves that are going to be made here and should be made for the Yankees. They absolutely need to be aggressive. Because they ran it back, which is their prerogative. I still disagree with it, but that was their prerogative. But it is now clear to me, to Yankee fans, and I'm sure to Cashman, that there is work to be done. And you like to see Judge to start getting going too, as he is on pace for one of the worst seasons of his career. And I expect him to turn it around, but this is like as bad a slump as I've seen from Aaron Judge. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to the callers. My thanks to the listeners. Thanks to Ray Jarvis. Thanks to Alex's arm. We'll see you Monday night. I'll be at Buddy's, 3rd Avenue in New York City for Game 4. Talk to you then. Later.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile.
Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With